Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. It's time once again for my annual report on the good, the bad, and the yikes in pop culture. Here comes Trans Representation in 2025 Media Part 1, Movies. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the reigning tea champion of the world, Susan Bridges.
Hello! That's a good one. I like that.
Oh, thank you. Our guest for all four of these episodes on Trans Rep in Media is my lovely friend, Jesse Earle, who sent me the longest and most impressive bio of any guest on this show. And I'm going to read the whole thing once. Here we go. Jesse is a writer, director, journalist, and LGBTQ advocate, best known for her YouTube channel, Jesse Gender, where she explores science fiction, pop culture, and politics through a queer and feminist lens for an audience of nearly 300,000 subscribers.
Wow.
She has created numerous nonfiction web series such as Microsoft Unboxed, a series produced by Microsoft about the behind the scenes of some of the tech giants' projects, and Press X for Sex, a series exploring sex and LGBTQ topics in video games for GameSpot. Her written and video work has appeared on Inverse, GameSpot, The Advocate, Out Magazine, Rotten Tomatoes, Skybound Entertainment, and she has contributed to the book Navigating Trans and Complex Gender Identities. In 2024, she wrote and directed the short film Identities, a sci-fi story about discovering identity within a near-future virtual corporate dystopia that forces people to choose between predetermined paths, now streaming on Nebula and an official honoree at the 2025 Webby Awards. She also directed an episode of the upcoming Nebula Black Mirror-esque anthology series Subliminal, executive produced by Academy Award winner Dan Jinks, American Beauty, Big Fish, Pushing Daisies. She also served as producer and assistant director on Long Away, a trans-focused time travel film by Star Trek Voyager Homecoming writers Tilly and Susan Bridges, which recently won Best LGBTQ Short at the San Diego Movie Awards. At the heart of all of Jesse's work is a guiding belief that queerness is not just an identity, but an act of building new futures in the present through our performance of connection, collaboration, and the radical act of reaching to see one another fully. Welcome, Jesse.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Just for listeners, that whole bio I submitted to a grant for a film, and they gave, like you said, you had to fill out like 500 words or however long that is. So I was like, all right, I will fill out the entirety. I will go right up to the letter limit.
I love it.
That's why that bio is so long, and I just reused it for you. I expected you to cut it down, but you just went through the whole thing.
Absolutely never. And can I just say, though, that I really love the last sentence of that bio, and that is such a beautiful way of putting it. I don't see a lot of people approaching it from that angle, and I think that's really great.
Yeah, no, I'm it's somewhat inspired by my favorite philosopher, who's Jose Esteban Munoz, who's a queer philosopher who talks a lot about, like, queer futurism and queer utopianism and how we think about, like, creating a future, and we create a future by creating it right now in the ways we treat each other differently, that is different than the way power and hierarchy in our current world tries to tell us to interact with each other, which is like us versus them mentality. So he's just a philosopher I really love.
And this is something I've seen you post about a lot, which I also very much agree with, is that you can't just be fighting the bad stuff. You have to be working to build something better. You know, it's not just about rejecting the bad. It's about how can we make it better so this bad isn't even around anymore.
Exactly. No, I think that's like one of the biggest things that I'm gonna harp on, because a lot of people get caught up in anti-fascism and anti all these stuff, which is
Yeah.
very important.
It
Very important
is
to be
very
anti-fascism.
important.
So not knocking it, but when you're just against something, you can ultimately still end up recreating some of the same implicit biases and
Yeah.
hierarchies that you are trying to fight. And so it's important to be like, all right, what are we fighting for? So you know how what you're
Exactly.
building against it. It's I think
Yeah.
it's very, very important part of resistance is to know what
It
you're fighting
is.
for. So
Yeah.
yeah.
All right. So the last time that you were on this show was a year ago, when we did
Yeah.
the 2024 Transrepublica Media Reports. And during that, we covered all of the usual transition questions I ask of our guests. And we have so much to discuss in this batch of episodes. But really quick, I wanted to ask if there was anything for you about your transition that has changed in the past year, any
Oh.
milestones or any new stuff?
I don't really know. I guess this is tangentially related, but I've been over the past year has been shit for a
Yes.
lot of us.
So, yeah.
And I sort of towards the end of last year started to realize how much I had not been taking care of myself mentally and physically.
Sure.
So I've been going back to the gym a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
And found a new, like, I'm just starting to see the fruits of that the past like
Yeah,
few
yeah.
weeks of like, oh, look, I can see muscle definition. Oh, I can like feel, I feel kind of healthier being in my body. And it's like given me kind of like a new appreciation for transition, especially being like, you know, I'm starting to get older than I was, you know? And so I'm starting to be like, all right, I still like finding new ways to like love my body and love the body that I'm in, even as I grow older and starting to feel
Yeah.
like aging, which has been kind of nice. Like, you know, it's there's always a thing I think about, like, you know, oh, if only I had transitioned earlier, my body wouldn't be this or this way.
Right.
And now it's sort of like just coming more to just finding new ways to fall in love with my body and the body that I'm in, no matter where it's at in my life. So, yeah, that's been kind of nice the past
Yeah.
year.
I love that. I've kind of had the same thing because in the last year I got into roller derby
Yeah.
and it's the first time that I've been in any kind of an organized sport or even doing that much physical activity since transition. And the way my body feels afterwards when I'm just completely exhausted and all my muscles ache, but it's like, it's kind of beautiful in a way because now it's like, it reminds me that that's me, that's my body. I've taken control of this. And it's so it is sort of tied in with transition in that way. It's really beautiful. I think it makes you feel more whole than I thought was possible.
Yeah, there's something I really love about having a sore, like being sore from physical activity. I don't know, there's something
Yeah.
really uniquely special about it in kind of an interesting way. So.
Yeah, I used to hate it, but now I think it's wonderful. So, because,
Yeah.
it used to remind me of my
Yes.
body, and that was a bad thing, and now it's a great thing. So.
Yeah, no, I remember I did tennis in high school because my parents pushed me to be in a sport and I hated it
Sure.
because it's just like I didn't care about my body at any point. So I'm like,
Yeah.
why would I spend any amount of time doing any sort of physical activity to like maintain it? So
Yeah.
yeah. And now it's different, which is
Now
great.
it's different, and that's amazing. All right. Well, these reports have become some of the most popular essays and podcast episodes across Trans Tuesdays, and that is fab. I talk about this stuff because nothing will ever get better if we don't discuss these things. Pop culture holds enormous power in shaping the thoughts and feelings of those who see it. This is famously the entire point of art. And how trans people are portrayed in our most popular art forms tells us a lot about where society is and is headed and helps us see shifting opinions on us in society. My past reports have shown a decline over time in good, authentic trans representation on screen and behind the scenes while showing a corresponding increase in jokes at our expense. See the 2022, 2023, and 2024 Trans Rep and Media reports in episodes 3, 52 to 54, and 97 to 99. Those reports are actually predicted or mirrored the shifting political headwinds as trans people became a larger target of the bigoted Republican Party in the United States. You could see this shift in our artistic representation happening, and then the 2024 election corroborated the shifting viewpoints in the results. Movies and television take a long time to make, and much of what I will report on was made in the years prior to the year of release. So again, we see that the shift is happening as public perception of trans people more drastically shifted as the propaganda and lies about us increased. It is fascinating and also bad, 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 bad.
Oh, I want to say something though too in that like we work in the industry.
We do.
And everyone tells you, don't say anything bad about other people's shows and things like that.
Sure.
I feel like Okay, but big exception is when it's racist,
When it's bigoted
sexist,
and problematic in
bigotry.
that way, yeah.
I feel like it is our job to call out those things
Right.
because a lot of times they happen intentionally and a lot of times they happen completely unintentionally.
Yeah, that's a thing
And
I'm going to mention in a minute here.
it's like really important to just call it out when you see it
Right.
because otherwise people aren't gonna
They're not going to
necessarily
know and
notice.
not going to get better. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part of a lot of my videos. I did one, I'm sure we'll talk about it as we go through, so I won't go too deep into the show, but I did a video on Star Wars Andor, and there's a section in it where, like, it's a 4-hour video about how much I love the show, but there's a section in it, but, like, here's the things that I can get wrong about its depiction of women and queer people. And this isn't like, screw Tony Gilroy, I hate him, he's the absolute worst. I really adore him and his writing, but it is just to point out, like, you have these biases because you're a dude who may be not in community with queer women or whatever. I don't know his exact life, but, like, there's clearly some bias there, and it's just, we should be pointing it out so that you do better or invite more people into the room beyond just a lot of men. That was predominantly that writer's room. So,
That is exactly right. Every Trans Tuesday is someone's first. So if you're new to my Trans Rep and Media reports, here are the standard disclaimers. I will mention the title of the movie or show and how many trans and non-binary people or jokes about us appeared. This report covers only scripted films and television that are fiction. I do not cover documentaries or quote-unquote reality TV, as the point is to look at how we're appearing in the stories we tell and at whose stories are allowed to be told in popular media. I also am only reporting on films I saw all of and shows I saw an entire season of. If I don't see the full story, I cannot have an accurate picture of things. This report covers only if trans people appeared and in what context, and is not meant as a comment on the shows or films' overall quality. Plenty of things I love may have had moments of bad representation or even no representation at all. Also, I can only count trans people who are out as trans for obvious reasons. Trans people who are stealth or eggs who haven't cracked yet obviously cannot be determined. In fact, as you will see, no trans people at all is the most common finding. There are also times when representation happens, but it's something I really don't like. Sometimes it's in bad things that are actively harmful to the trans community. Listen to episode 96 on bad representation, Amelia Perez with Jesse, for more on how sometimes it's actually preferable for cis people to just not do the thing they want to do with a trans character.
I had, like, wiped Amelia Perez from my brain. Like, I,
I'm so
like,
sorry.
exercised that demon. You just brought it back. Oh, God.
It is certainly a film that they made.
It definitely is. Got
But it
Oscar
gave us
nominated.
Jacques Sacrebleu,
That
so
is
it's not all
true.
bad. Jacques
It's true. It's
Sacrebleu.
true. It's true.
When this report talks about jokes at our expense, you need to understand that they're almost never overt, I hate trans people jokes. They are implicit trans jokes, and that the people making them likely do not even know their joke is punching down at trans people. Our society tells us men and women are quote unquote supposed to be a certain way, and any deviation from that is to be mocked. Most often, these are things like, that man has no balls or a small dick, or this woman is talking about having a penis. Most often, you'll see this show up anytime a perceived man does something that is perceived as feminine, or appears feminine, or is compared to a woman in a derogatory way. And every single time, if you stop to ask yourself why those are meant to be funny, it's because our society has trained us that the very idea of those things is just ducking hilarious. Those jokes are absolutely about mocking the reality trans people live in, but the people making those jokes mostly have no idea. They're just perpetuating what society trained them to think, and in perpetuating those things, are training everyone watching to perpetuate it further. If you want to know more about how implicit biases work and worm their way into us all, yes, all, even me and even you, check out episode 57 of this show on implicit queer phobia, where you'll see a cishet person's reaction to queer and trans media illustrate this effect perfectly. Also, please note that I am but one exhausted and very hot woman logging every single thing I watch for an entire year. It is so much work, and also I am bound to miss things. This is actually why addressing that a character is trans in story is so important, because if you don't, people are likely to miss it. Even a trans screenwriter and director who is specifically looking for it, I'm trying my best. Also, this is not necessarily only things that were released in 2025, though it largely is, but it's things I saw in 2025. Our oversaturated media landscape makes it impossible for anyone to see everything that is released, and sometimes you don't even hear about something until a year or two after it's out. So everything in this report is either from 2025 or was released within a few years of 2025. I'm trying to find modern trends and representation, not stuff from older media. At the very end of these four Trans Rep in 2025 media episodes, I will tally and post the totals, and we'll compare with past years and look for any trends. Will Rep get better? Worse? Stay about even? Stick around and find out. And the final disclaimer, to talk about these things, we have to talk about these things, which means spoilers abound. Be ye warned. All right, let's dive in, starting with movies. Boiling Point, 0. Captain America, Brave New World, 0. Companion, 0. The Day the World Blew Up, maybe 0? Okay, this is so weird. This is a Looney Tunes animated film which contains a plot point that Daffy Duck has to lay eggs. He is male. He has always been portrayed that way since it's his first appearance in 1937, 89 years ago. And in case you were wondering if they might have changed that for this film, Daffy confirms he's a dude in the movie's dialogue. He also loses all his feathers at one point and has nipples. Why? Ducks do not have nipples.
What?
So either...
What?
Yeah.
So they're not either... mammals. Well, they are mammals, right? No, I don't know.
No.
I'm going to stop. Yeah, they're not.
No ducks possess nipples.
No.
Yeah.
So either this is an instance of the oft-repeated, ha-ha, wouldn't it be funny if a man could get pregnant, which some trans guys actually can, or Daffy Duck is trans mask. Do I think Warner Brothers is making a statement that Daffy Duck is trans? You know what? I do not. So this is our first count of an implicit joke at our expense.
That makes me sad because I was kind of interested in that movie. I heard good things. And yeah, no, I guess not.
It's so weird.
I'll probably watch it at some point. But yeah, that's disappointing. Also, I will say too, just to back up just a second.
Yeah.
You say Companion Zero. I really love Companion a lot because it did have a lot of, without going too deep into it, but like under like low-key trans vibes. It's very much about how women are treated, but also about like people telling you how to exist in your body, being treated as just like an object and like wanting to like be able to control your own body at certain points that she, and manipulate how she feels about herself. He even like changes her voice to be like lower at one point in the movie without spoiling too much. So I thought there was a lot of, not like very much talking about how women generally are treating, but also some trans vibes in that movie that I really liked.
Yeah. Deep Cover, 0. Emily the Criminal, 0. Fantastic Four First Steps, 0. Flow, 0. Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, 0. Now, all Frankenstein adaptations are kind of transy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the story in this film is kind of transy, but there is no actual representation happening.
There's definite queer vibes.
Yes.
I mean, everything Del Toro does is always queer. Like, even if he just has all straight people in it, it's like, this is gay. This is gay in some way.
Good Boy, 0. The Gorge, 0. Hundreds of Beavers, 0. Jewels, 0. K-pop Demon Hunters, 0. There is no transness here, but a lot of people think it is a trans allegory. I have thoughts about that, but they're probably not what you think. Look for a report on it later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, 0. Man and Witch, The Dance of a Thousand Steps, 1. Susie Eddie Izzard plays the voice of a goose. So we can't count this as character representation, though to be honest, what trans person doesn't identify with geese, am I right? But it is actor representation.
That is true. I do honk a lot and do get angry if people get near me and maybe chase them away.
I feel like most trans people are like the goose meme. Mm. You know, the one where it's chasing the guy like angry about what? MF-er, you know? Yeah.
What? Okay. What did you say about my pronouns? Come back here. Come on.
The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, 0. Mickey 17, 0. National Anthem, 2. Trans woman Eve Lindley stars as Sky, and non-binary icon Mason Alexander Park has a big supporting role. I suspect there are more trans or non-binary actors in this cast, but it is an independent film that got a streaming release, and so information on a lot of the actors in smaller roles was very difficult to find. It is about a little refuge of queer and trans people living together in a house. Well, no, strike that. It's about a cis white guy who discovers them and has a queer awakening and falls in love with Skye.
Oh, this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like I hadn't heard about this one. Okay, I know I have, and I know. Yep. Okay, sorry.
It
Keep
is written and
going.
directed by a cis man based on a monograph he wrote while interviewing people at rodeos. A rodeo is featured in the film, after loving them as a kid and then being surprised at how queerphobic and transphobic they were. This isn't a trans story you are getting per se, but it is a very queer one, and the trans rep feels authentic to me, perhaps due to it being based on the aforementioned interviews the creator did with trans people, or perhaps from his own personal experience if the film is more autobiographical than fiction. To be clear, it is fiction, but we know it was at least in part based on real conversations he had with real people, so the line in there is fuzzy. But if you are looking for a mostly gentle and contemplative indie film with good trans rep, you could do far worse than National Anthem.
Question for you,
Yeah.
because I have not seen this film, and it's been on my list for a minute, and I just forgot the name of it. But another trans filmmaker friend of mine, they saw it, and their big problem with it was really about like a cis dude being like, "Oh, look how supportive I am," or like trying to get over like being interested in a trans woman. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know if how much of a true that is, but I've heard some criticism from that vein of the movie. I'd be curious what you think.
I feel that is a fair way to interpret it. Yeah, it is much more about the cis dude, and like he does sort of have a queer awakening, but it is more about him and his journey than it is about all of the trans and queer people in the film, but other than him.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see it because I love Mason Alexander Park.
They're
Anything
so
they're in,
good.
I will eat up. So,
Yes. Odessa, zero. So this isn't a trans film, but it is a very trans film, if you catch my meaning. I'd really love to do a full trans allegory deep dive on it, but it is so very unknown that I think it would not really be helpful to a lot of people. And not only is this a super trans film, it is very gender. Here's some highlights. The main character is the titular Odessa, a girl, and her father says to her, quote, "Pecker or no, you're the seventh son." Like, how trans is it? Very trans. There's a
wow.
man who wears high heels, like all the time. It is a musical, and in one of the songs, it talks about, quote, Mother Nature's beard. Odessa cuts off all her hair to look less like a girl. She sleeps in boxer shorts and a tank top. She ends up being pretty butch and is in love with a very feminine man. When they're going to get married, she wears a suit and the guy wears a veil. The preacher then calls her the, quote, prodigal son. It is incredibly stylistic and it has a lot to say about fighting conformity and fascism directly, and the songs are actually really good. It stars Sadie Sink from Stranger Things, and the girl can sing. Who knew? It is definitely worth checking out.
That just jumped high. I've seen this has been on my list for a while too. That just jumped
It's
up. So,
delightfully weird, complimentary, yeah.
yeah, good.
Red Sonja, too. The film was directed by trans woman MJ Bassett, and trans woman Danica Davis has a small role, though the character is not mentioned as trans. Saving Buddy Charles. One non-binary actor and friend of mine, Annalisa Fisher, plays Clara, who is a cis girl. This has a lot of the two main cis girl characters calling each other dude and bro, and I get that's how today's teens talk, but that sure is gendered, ain't it? I tracked more of that in last year's report, but honestly, it's not specifically trans related, and it happens so much that I gave up on tracking it all. But once you look for it, you can't help but spot it, and you never really see words that actually mean women being applied to people regardless of their actual gender, do you? It is part of our society implicitly saying men are the default and what everyone should aspire to be. Stop doing it, maybe. Listen to cis is not a slur. There is no default human in episode 30 of this show for more on that. Anyway, Annalisa's so good, so if an indie teen road trip is your jam, go see them give a truly great performance. It is on Tubi. Sinners, zero.
So shout out to Sinners.
Yeah.
We love, at least I really love it. I'm sure I'm assuming
I
you too
loved
do.
it. It was great.
Yeah.
That scene with the music and that like really long one shot, oh my
Oh my
God,
God.
it's magic. Spinal Tap 2, zero. A music promoter says K-pop is really popular and that he works with a K-pop band, but they're not really Korean, but they identify as Korean. Boo!
Yeah,
Listen.
that was like a real off note in this
This
movie.
one is really insidious because obviously people who are not Korean cannot identify as Korean. That is not how it works, but that is how gender works because gender is a social construct. Gender and yes, sex can change, but this joke basically intimates that gender and sex cannot change, and that makes it entirely full of bullshit.
I mean, I don't know what your opinions of the movie, but what a generally just very disappointing film. I watched it because of Rob Reiner's death, a very, very tragic death. But so I watched it after that, and the movie was just it was fine. It was mostly just fine, and then that joke happened. I'm like, that feels very boomer humor. Like we're this is what the kids say, sort of thing. And it's ugh, it's annoying.
Well, you know, I know that those movies are very much sort of like they have a story and they know what the scenes are, but the dialogue is mostly improv. So I
Yes,
feel like
yes.
the actor is probably more responsible for that one, but then it was
It was kept
chosen
in,
to left
like,
in film, so.
I mean, I do improv, and like
Yeah.
improv, you there are sometimes you say jokes and you're just like, yeah, that was a weird one. I wish I hadn't said that one. I
Right.
mean, like you train yourself as an improv person to not do like, really like bad or like offensive humor, but you will sometimes slip up and be like, oh, that was a like I relied on a bias to say a joke.
Exactly, yeah.
And I just like that happens. But when you're editing it, you can cut those
You
things
cut those out. Yeah.
out. So
Star Trek, Section 31, zero.
bad.
Superman, zero. There is no transcript here, but the movie is very quietly trans-affirming. Episode about that coming in a month or so.
I cried at the dad scene in that movie. I was just bawling at how trans vibes that was, and I did not expect that. Oh, that Superman's so good. I stand James Gunn very much. Like, not a perfect filmmaker by any means, but I really, really adore a lot of the way he is trying to be very empathetic in his work.
Yeah. I also like bisexual
Oh God, yes.
vibes,
I mean, Lois always has given me bisexual vibes when she's done well. The reason I know when I know Lois is not written well in anything is when she doesn't have bisexual
Right?
vibes. Like, no, you didn't get her. She needs to low key be like with Superman, because like, look, he's Superman. Like, have you seen him? But also, if he wasn't around, I'd be with any woman here. It'd be great.
Amazing. Thelma, zero. Thunderbolts, zero. Train Dreams, zero. Wake Up Dead Man, zero. There is a bro in this film who wants to be a Republican politician, and to whip up votes, he says he tried, quote, the trans thing and quote, the pronoun thing, but they are literally in the middle of a long list of things Republicans get performatively mad about to score points with bigots. They're not at all jokes at our expense, so there are no issues here. That was well done.
Yeah, perfect example of a cis dude writing a movie who is like actually gets the bullshit that Republicans do and is aware of their biases. Like it's why I really again, Rian Johnson is another one of those filmmakers who I just like, you don't always make movies for me perfectly, but you really understand and really try to be empathetic. He's right there with kind of James Gunn as one of those filmmakers of like you do the work to try to understand other people, and I really appreciate that.
Me too. More people need to do that.
They do. That's what being a good artist is. Empathy. Who would have thought?
We're all going to the World's Fair. One, written and directed by Jane Schoenbrunn, who is non-binary, and the film is absolutely about gender dysphoria, much in the way Schoenbrunn's next film, I Saw the TV Glow, is. I did a full write-up on I Saw the TV Glow in episodes 81 to 87, but I don't intend to for this film. The allegory here is a little more obtuse and obfuscated, which makes sense, as Schoenbrunn said they didn't realize the film was actually about dysphoria until partway through shooting it when it cracked their egg. Now, that does not mean that they weren't intentionally making a film about gender dysphoria, mind you, just that they were exploring it subconsciously and didn't consciously realize it until filming when they realized they were trans. There is a trans woman who briefly appears on screen, but she is not an actual character and has no lines. The Wild Robot, zero. Wish, zero. You Hurt My Feelings, zero. And that is the end of the report on the movies that I saw last year. So across 34 new or relatively new films, I found seven trans people, two confirmed trans characters, and two jokes. And it is kind of dismal that we don't have more representation in there, but there was nothing actually harmful, and that those extremely low counts of trans people and characters outnumber the jokes is actually pretty stunning. Thank you for being here, Jesse.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It is interesting just to say on that, like, when you asked me to be on here, I was racking my brain for trans and queer rep. The only one I'll even toss on here, and I won't spoil it too much for you, but there is a non-binary character in One Battle After Another, and I
Okay.
really, really hated how they used that character.
Oh
I have a
no.
lot of issues with One Battle After Another. I really hope it doesn't win the Oscar. It has some good stuff, but I really have issues with it. And that non-binary character was a moment that signaled me, like, oh, you actually don't understand how like leftist revolutionary groups work, and it shows. It very much shows with that character. So, yeah, that's the
Yeah.
only other one I could really think of. Like, I've seen some trans and queer movies made by queer and trans people, but outside of stuff made by queer and trans people,
Yeah.
there hasn't been a lot this year, and I think it's just a lot of people like avoiding the issue. You know, it's just like
Yeah.
we don't want to like make a thing that makes fun of trans people, but we don't really want to put our money where our mouth is and actually be supportive in this environment, which is,
Yeah. Yeah.
yep, performative allyship. So
Yeah. Well, we'll have a lot more to talk about with all of that in the next three episodes. Will this rep being higher than our jokes hold up as we progress through all television I watched? Only one way to find out. Come back next week as we dive into 2025 Television Part One, Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, on Mastodon at tillybridgesandmastodon.social, and on Insta at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. Signed copies of our comics and my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, are available on my coffee shop at ko-fi.com/tillybridges. If you're listening on YouTube, it's so cliche, but please like and subscribe and take a few seconds to leave a comment. Those feed the algorithm and helps the show be found by so many more people. If you're listening on other platforms, ratings and reviews help just as much, and I'd certainly appreciate them. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
That is true. I do honk a lot.
Final words.